Let's just pray for Tony as he brings the word. Father, we thank you for Tony, for his faithfulness in bringing your word, and we pray your anointing upon him. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will use him as your vessel to bring the word about Jesus Christ to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. Thank you, Henry. Henry wasn't meant to mention the word fasting before we could lock the doors. And people might have gone out with the kids or something like that. But anyway, yes, we are on a mini-series on fasting. It's actually part of a bigger series called Practicing the Way. Practicing the Way stems from an intellectual, an author, a preacher, John Mark Comer, who's gone into NPO work trying to help churches to develop discipleship within their churches, and more so trying to develop in churches the practices of Jesus. So that's why it's called the Practicing the Way, is practicing the things that Jesus did. And so what John Mark Comer and his friends have done is that they've isolated 9 practices of Jesus. And some of these we might have thought of as being from the past, distant past, ancient maybe. But actually these are practices that Jesus performed. And what they do is they help us to become more like Jesus. They help us to be with Jesus, and these practices help us to do what Jesus did. And so that's the essence of practicing the way. And we've covered 2 already, the Sabbath practice, which has been revolutionary for the Shuttleworth family. And then we did the prayer practice, and now we're on the fasting practice. And we're in the 3rd sermon of 4 series, of this 4-part series on fasting. So that's where we are at the moment. So there is a slideshow. Just forgive us for the lack of animations, that the pro presenter doesn't do animation. So you guys can get the gist of it as we go. But I think it's important as we consider fasting. When I was growing up and through my Christian walk, I wasn't too sure what fasting was all about. And so only later in my Christian walk did I understand what fasting is. We've all got maybe some thoughts about what fasting might be. I think for some people, it's linked to maybe some fanaticism of some sort, or like I said, some ancient practice. And in the modern day, it's very much a watchword in the health and fitness industry, you know, intermittent fasting and how this is good for your health, right? Okay, but you might have perceptions of what fasting is. And these are some realities, though. As Christians, I feel a bit anxious about what it might be. These are some realities, though, as Christian, as Christ follows, is that Jesus fasted himself. And so if he's our model, we need to sit up and think, well, what is this thing? And should we not be doing it too if our Lord did it? He taught on fasting. There's not a lot of his teaching on fasting because there's not a lot that he said. But he did teach on it at the Sermon on the Mount, which is probably the most famous of all sermons ever given. And so if it's in there, there must be some significance to fasting. And then through the ages, by the saints, various saints through the ages have fasted, and it's been a part of the practice of the saints, not just through the ages, but in Scripture, especially Old and New Testament, all the significant people in the Bible fasted. So maybe that's another reason we should sit up and think, well, should we be fasting too? And then lastly, in the church. So it was for a long time, it was in the church, a long time, and it was practiced by the church at large. In fact, there was even, in some instances in the early church, they had to put in regulations to stop people from fasting. They were fasting too much, right? Then, like, you may not fast on the Saturday because it's too much. It's meant to be the Sabbath, actually meant to feast on the Sabbath and not fast on the Sabbath. So it is so in it, not from a religious perspective, but because people saw the benefit in it. And so fasting has been through the ages in the church, and even today in many denominations, fasting is something that happens across the world in many denominations. Sadly, in much of the Western church, and maybe if you want to call it the evangelical church, which we might be fall under, fasting has largely fallen away. So St. Basil the Great, I like this quote. Maybe you want to read it with me. He says, this is the power of fasting for us. Fasting gives birth to prophets and strengthens the powerful. Fasting makes lawgivers wise, Maybe some of our lawgivers in South Africa should start fasting. Fasting is a good safeguard for the soul. It protects our soul. It's a steadfast companion for the body, a weapon for the valiant, and a gymnasium for athletes. And obviously that's against evil. Fasting repels temptation, anoints us into piety, so makes us more holy. It is a comrade of watchfulness, an artificer of chastity. In war, it fights bravely. In peace, it teaches stillness. Isn't that a beautiful quote about the power of fasting? But in this series, and for the sake of this mini-series on fasting, there are four areas which are important in terms of fasting and why it's important to us. Firstly, fasting magnifies your worship. Okay, so in putting aside eating for a bit, what you're doing is you're submitting your body in worship to Jesus, saying, I'm putting aside my body for you, Lord. It grows us in holiness, as I mentioned in that last quote. So we become, in that moment of fasting, with the introspection that we go through and the time spent with God, we become naturally more and more holy in that. And that's a good thing, right? It amplifies our prayers. That's in red because that's what we're doing today, the third. It actually amplifies our prayers and enables us to stand with those who are suffering. So as I mentioned in the last time I preached on this, there was a time in this church very early on when there was a tragic accident. A group of youth went down to a rally down in town. They went in a car. They had an accident on the highway going down the hill in that horrible section. And one of the youth of our church passed away. And in the process of all of that, we were fasting and praying for them. And so we're able to stand with those who are suffering in a time, and especially the poor who often go hungry as well. So we are today looking at how fasting amplifies our prayer. So through all of Scripture, guys, all of Scripture, you see fasting and prayer going together. Okay, you can pray without fasting, absolutely, and you can fast without praying, but something happens when we pray and fast together. There's something very powerful that happens when you fast and pray together. But before we can talk about that and why that is the case, we need to remind ourselves what praying is. And praying is communicating with God. It's listening to God or talking to God. But another way of framing that, in other words, is that prayer is hearing from God, being able to hear from God. So you're listening to God, you're hearing from God, and being heard by God. And so those are the two points for our sermon today, hearing from God and being heard by God through fasting, because that's what fasting amplifies. It amplifies our ability to hear and to be heard. All right, so let's go on to the next slide. So, if you were to turn to Acts chapter 13, 1 to 3, here's some scriptural evidence for the fact that fasting helps us to hear and helps us to be heard. Now, chapter 13, verse 1, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manane, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Can you see the two instances of hearing from God through fasting and then being heard by God through fasting? Can you see them? Do you want to talk to your friend next to you? What helps hearing and fasting helps being heard? Where do you see it? In the first part, what did the Lord say? They were fasting and they heard the Lord, didn't they? What did the Lord say? The Holy Spirit actually spoke to them. They said, they didn't set apart James and John. He said, set apart Barnabas and Saul. So there was a specific word that they got, set apart these people. They got that through the fasting and hearing from God, a specific word. And then they fasted, it seems a separate entity to the first, After fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. In other words, they were calling on God. God, won't you hear us as we send off Barnabas and Paul for their mission? And we know that that was an incredible mission that they went on. Let's go to the next slide. So, fasting to hear God. Fasting to hear God. There's what fasting does is it enables our listening, it enables God to speak, and it enables our discernment. So in terms of enabling our listening, we got to be careful here about how the world has tried to isolate your soul, the spiritual part of your body, of yourself, from your body and from your mind. Okay, and that's like part of the intellectual thing. It's a bit of postmodernism mixed in there. Trying to say, actually, you can do what you want to with your body. It's fine because your body and your soul are separate. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. We are called to be holy. We're called to live holy lives, okay, through our bodies, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're called to be. And so with that, fasting is a way of making our bodies holy before God, and that gives a soul benefit. Likewise, our soul is not separate from our body, and you often hear of people getting sick who are actually very sick in their soul. They're often sick in their body as well. People who are sick in their souls often become bitter. I hope there's no bitter people in this church, right? But if you become bitter or unforgiving or hurtful in your spirit, often those people get sick. Have you heard of that? Yeah. All right. So healthy soul, healthy body, healthy soul. Right. And this body should be in submission to your spirit. Okay. Ultimately. So how does fasting help us to hear God? Well, firstly, like I said, not separating the mind from the soul. Fasting helps our mind to work even more effectively. All right, so I don't know how many of you have fasted, but when you go through a fasting, let's say for a day, your mind becomes so much more alert and so much more clear. It's incredible. Part of the physiology of that is that there's no longer blood being diverted to go to your digestive system, and so blood is for the digestive, and so you're way more alert, like that, and so blood is available to the brain. And so you're way more alert, way more perceptive of what's going on. Scientists say that it increases the neuroplasticity in your brain, like an ability to rewire the brain and think differently. They say that there's an ability to have an introspection. I forget the word, but there's a word for it where you can actually be more alert to what's going on in your body. You're much more alert to that. They've even got studies that proves that it reverses or stems the onset of Alzheimer's, such as the effect of fasting on your brain. It's got an immense impact on the working of your brain. All right, so actually, it's no wonder that we can hear God a little bit more clearly when we're setting aside time not to eat and setting our focus on God. We can hear God more clearly just through the physiology of how our bodies work. So we can hear God more clearly. Secondly, it enables God to speak. So when we fast, we have more time. Time that you would have otherwise spent on maybe preparing food or eating the food or cleaning up or whatever it might be, shopping or whatever it is. Actually, if you set aside time in your day and you're saying, I'm committing this time to God, then ultimately you have more time for God to speak to you, which is a fantastic thing. But for me, it's not about that, because I spend about 3 minutes eating. I don't know about you. I used to get in trouble with my mom. She'd like slap me on the wrist. Like I'd be like, and then off to my next thing, you know? I don't know if you like that. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that, kids, all right? But ultimately, what I found about the time thing, when you link it to the spiritual thing, when you're not eating you're a bit hungry, but you're way more alert, it seems like my time on that day of my fast, which is every Wednesday for the whole day, is that all of my time is directed to Jesus. So, you know, in the Bible it says, pray without ceasing. It's like, are you joking? Like, pray without ceasing? What is that? Well, I've become to realize that when I fast, I can pray without ceasing. It seems like I'm so much more alert to God and what he's saying to me and what I must do, that I'm always alert and always praying. So because it's prompting the prayer in me, I can be walking from one building to another and I'm praying. I can be sitting in a queue and I'm praying. I can be sitting in the office like I was this Wednesday. I had two amazing occasions or testimony. I was on my fast day, hadn't eaten from the night before, so I got up and missed breakfast. Can't miss my coffee though, so I did that. And then I was walking on my way out of my driveway, off to work, and there's this beautiful bush that we have in our yard with these beautiful, pure white flowers. And as I was walking, I saw this thing, and I got somebody's mind in my heart immediately. And this is how God sees her. And so I picked, which was for my PA, Siobhan. And this is how God sees her. And so I picked the flowers, as guys do, just ripped them off the bush there. And I shoved them in a glass of water, and I put them on her desk. And I said, Siobhan, this is how God sees you. He loves you. He sees you as pure. And she's a beautiful Christian lady. Older lady, lovely lady. And it was just so encouraging to her, lifted her up. And I would have walked past that bush if I hadn't been alert to what God was saying to me. God wanted me to encourage her that day and give her an object lesson of his love for her. On the same day, I'm sitting in an office going into a very important meeting. And the people I'm meeting with us are saying, let's go and go have lunch first. I'm like, oh, you would ask me. You would ask me on the day I'm fasting. So I said, I'm not eating today. And then, it got the conversation started about why not, Anyway, the two main people I was meeting with, they left to go to lunch. And I was left in the room with an administrative person. And they were asking me all about fasting and about faith. And I got to say to them, and which I do, I said to this lady, I said, do you know that I pray for you many days? And she just burst out into tears. And she was so touched, And it was just God actually using the practice of fasting in a very different way. It wasn't me necessarily being saying this, like in my other example, like taking the lead on it. It was God leading this situation and me just being available and then having a good chat about Jesus, And so that was an amazing opportunity to share with them. So the time thing is amazing. When you're fasting, you're just more alert, you're more able, you're more encouraging, you're more all of those things because God is speaking to you. And my last point here on this enabling God to speak is that it's submissive listening and discernment. Can we go to the next slide? So fasting to hear God is submissive listening. So in Joel 2:12, it says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So God is looking to us to turn to him with all of our heart. And that first song that we sang this morning actually spoke about with the whole heart. And God is looking for us to turn to him with all of our heart. And one of the ways that you can turn to God with all of our heart is by putting aside some of our self need, our physical need of eating, and looking to him and going to him with all of our heart. So fasting is the mechanism. This concept of with all your heart is repeated in Jeremiah 29:12-14. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. Okay, you will pray to me and I will hear you. You will call on me and your heart. It's the same. It's the very same words. Okay, Hebrew words from Joel and Jeremiah are exactly the same. It's seeking God with all your heart. One of the ways, like I said to you, is through fasting. It's showing God that I'm coming with all of me. I'm setting this aside because I want to seek you wholeheartedly. And what is God's promise from that? God's promise is, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place which I have sent you into exile. It's a beautiful promise of taking God seriously and putting him first and seeking him with our whole hearts. We can do that through fasting. Let's go to the next slide. So fasting enables God to speak to us. Priscilla Schreier, she is an author and a preacher, and she says this about fasting. I'm able to gain perspective on how unbalanced is the amount of time and energy and effort that I put into my body and into my spirit. So body versus spirit. When we choose to sacrifice the need of a body, our body, to place more importance on the need of the spirit, God himself sits up and takes notice. The heavens are open to us in a way that we might not have otherwise been. So the important insight that she's gained is that fasting doesn't only help us to hear God, it allows God to speak to us. The heavens are opened more clearly, and God can speak to us because we've created this opportunity for God to speak. Let's go to the next slide. And so this is the last one on this point, and then there are not too many slides left. But fasting enables discernment as well. Okay, we all want to hear from the God. We all want to know, God, what is your will for my life? In the words of the psalmist of 143, verse 8, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust, God. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Put up your hands, people, no compulsion. If you want to know the way God wants you to go, put up your hands. Right. Okay, for all of you who didn't put up your hands, you're all in trouble. You'll stay after class. Right. I imagine all of you, all of us, want to know, God, what do I do in this situation? Like, what does my future hold? What is my next step? What do I do in this relational thing? I need discernment, God. I need to know your will. Please, will you speak to me? Please, will you speak to me? And I'm probably one of the worst because I'm like, I get frustrated with God. God, I'm not hearing you on this issue. That train Marv was talking about, that train is not stopping. Please, get the train to pass so I know where I'm going. And actually, we need to be hankering after God in such a way that actually fasting becomes a reality, can become a reality where God will answer you, because he will through fasting. God will answer. Let's read this together. Fasting is a discipline, body, mind, and soul, to God's spirit to guide us. So we shift from, and this is the big part of this point, we shift from decision-making to discernment. A movement away from what is good and wise for my life to what's the will of God for my life. Do we want a wise decision for our next step? Or do we want to know the will of God for our next step? A breaking away from the control to surrender. From I am in control of my life to I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. All right. And so, As we fast, you're never under compulsion to fast, but as you fast, what it's doing in you is a deeper work, right? It's actually not just about hearing God. It's not just about God speaking. It's about a breaking down of your control of your own life and saying, God, I don't want to just hear you so I know what's best. I want to get rid of my self-control. I don't want to be in control anymore because when I know I'm in control, I mess it up. And so help me to move from self-control to being a servant of the Most High God? And can I hear that voice, not just any voice, about what's good for me? So last point is about then fasting to be heard by God. So I've just put up this... this is a book called The Miracle of Dunkirk. There was a recent film, I think it got a whole lot of awards, called Dunkirk, I think from 2017. It's all about the evacuation, if I can call it that, of the Allied troops and from Dunkirk. And essentially what happened here in May 1940, is that the French army had collapsed in terms of their resistance to the Nazis. And so they'd been defeated, and the Nazis were pressing the Allied forces and ultimately had pushed them all the way to the coast, and the 338,000 troops were trapped on the beaches of Dunkirk. And in that moment, whilst they were there and about to be crushed, because Hitler's Nazi tank divisions, a whole lot of tank divisions were now pushing. And they were just miles away. I mean, just right there, right? Just about to get there. All of a sudden, a few things happen, miraculously. Firstly, Hitler, for unknown reason, on the 24th of May, stopped the tank division. He just said, halt where you are. Stop. That's the first thing he did. The second thing was a mysterious, I say mysterious because it was a mixture of smoke and fog that covered the beaches, just descended. And so the bombers, the junkers, the German junkers, those bombers, channel, if you know the English troops on the beach because they couldn't see them, pretty rough and it's got currents. It's the English Channel, if you know the English Channel, it's pretty rough and it's got currents and it's not a calm place. For 3 days, the English Channel was like a bath, they said. Like a bath. It just went flat for 3 days. And during that time, the Allies or from England, they could send boats, all sorts of boats, fishing boats and paddle boats and whatever boats across the channel to go collect these 338,000 troops, of which if they had not got them, it might have ended the war right there. It would have been such a blow to England, it is unlikely a proper resistance would have been maintained. Isn't that a miracle? What people don't know is that on the 24th of May, is King George in England called for national fasting and prayer. And thousands of people went to Westminster Chapel. There's a picture of thousands of people lining up to get into the chapel so that they could pray for the situation. And people don't record that, don't put that in the movie. But that's what happened. And just hours after they had done that is when Hitler ordered the stopping of his troops. Isn't that incredible? That is a modern day true story of how prayer and fasting work together to bring about the miraculous. Amazing story. But it's not just in modern time. If you go back, it's also in scripture. So let's look at Jonah. Here's Jonah 3:5-10. Jonah goes to Nineveh. He preaches to the Ninevites. Says, hey, you guys been bad oaks. The Lord's going to destroy you. He's coming to destroy you. They are struck in heart. And ultimately, they repent. So it says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed his word. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes, and he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them all call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from their evil way and from the violent that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God relented of their disaster, and he said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. There's some interesting words here as we start to close down. Is that the words they turn from the evil way? Is the same word in Hebrew for God relented. So Naham is the word, and so when the people Nahamed. God Nahamed, or turned from, or turned back. So repenting is turning like a 180, right? I was doing this, and I'm repenting, I'm going this way. When the people repented, God repented. And so we fall into a trap of thinking, well, God has made a decision, and that's God's decision. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to stay God's hand or change God's decision. And through scripture, we see when people have turned, when people naham, God nahams. It allows God to actually take another level of moral high ground, something he wants to do. I think we're in good families and in good schools. We have that as well. When a child does something really, really bad, if you love them, right, and they've done something really they shouldn't have, and they come and say, I'm sorry, this is a disaster, all right, What is the correct and right response generally from a good father or a good mother or a good teacher? What's the good response? It's to relent, huh? You normally say, please don't do that again, right? You know him, okay? And it shows God's love for his people. God is a God of justice. He's a God who has to, or is holy, a God who will ultimately have to bring justice into the world. But when we come in repentance, he in turn brings mercy. And lastly, so to finish. So because God hears and moves, we need to not assume that God is going to do what he's going to do and nothing will change it. We mentioned that. We need to acknowledge that fasting is a way to activate God's power. We see that through scripture. We see that through the Dunkirk example as well. Tony Evans is a Pentecostal, our Pentecostal brothers and sisters. This thing of activating God's power and getting breakthrough. Like we spoke about breakthrough this morning. If you are where you are and you need breakthrough, fasting is a way to break through to the promises of God, to get into the promises of God. We've got to be careful, though, that fasting doesn't become a hunger strike to twist God's arm or some legalistic way of trying to prove something to God that you're worthy or something. It's not that. It's not a hunger strike. It's God, it's coming to the Father who loves you, who wants what's right for you, and in showing your love towards him, he will open the way. And we need to acknowledge the mystery of answered prayer. So ultimately, we need to know that answered prayer is in God's hands. But one thing we know is that when we fast and pray, we are going to get an answer ultimately. But there's a mystery in that. There's a mystery that we leave to God. It's not a formula, is what I'm saying. We want it to become a formulaic church. If you do this, this, and this, then you're going to get that. It's not going to work like that. This is not about that. My last words, the whole thing, this whole thing, as we close, is the desire to desire the true with the Trinity. That's why we fast. Whilst we do, it does amplify our prayers and amplify our hearing. Ultimately, it's to be with God and to live in a loving relationship with him. To express our loving words to him and for him, for us to hear his loving words to us. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we want to thank you that you are an amazing God, a good God. And we are weary, Lord, of wanting to go down a path of thinking we the puppet masters and you're the puppet or manipulating. We're not wanting to be that, Lord. We just really desire you. I pray for this church, Lord God, Holy Spirit, come and increase our desire. Desire for you first, and a desire for your will in our lives. I want to thank you that you hear our prayers and you want to answer. Not only do you hear our prayers, but you have promises for us. You have breakthrough for us around the corner. And so we come humbly submitted to you today, Lord. Not being presumptuous, but we come to ask you to fan more into flame a desire for you and a desire to want to be close to you. And if that means for many of us fasting, help us to fast well for you. I pray that you'd generate in this church a desire to fast and to pray. And Lord, may we have testimony upon testimony upon testimony upon testimony upon testimony of how you broke the walls of challenge and opposition because you are good. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.